You know, the testimony of song and a song like that is that Jesus makes a difference. And when we come to him, or as the song said, when he comes to us, he changes everything. I was going to try and sing. I've been debating the entire drive over here this morning if I was going to try to sing a little song, and I decided not to. Just because I tend to be shy and I like to sing by myself. But the song is, "You Are My All in All." The lyrics, okay, dang it, I'll just sing the first chorus. "You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all." Now that song, and I could do the rest, but I'm not going to. I feel uncomfortable. But that song was a song that I learned as a brand new Christian. And it became kind of a chorus that I sang over and over again, mostly when I was driving and nobody else was in the car with me. But it was the message of that song that always captured me. Jesus, you are my all and all, or all in all. Because once again, we find over and over and over again, Jesus is everything. And Jesus is enough. When you have Jesus, you have everything. The way I would phrase it is this, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But we live in a society where we're encouraged, rather, to see Jesus as our all in all, to see ourselves as our all in all. Right? This is evidenced in common phrases like, "believe in yourself." "If it's going to be, it's up to me." Or perhaps the most famous, "God helps those who help themselves." Originally coined by Ben Franklin. You see, the world teaches us that we must look to ourselves for everything we need. Self-sufficiency. In fact, if you think about it even more, anytime you say, "I'm depending on someone, I need someone," that's often viewed as a sign of weakness, right? Because depending on someone other than yourself is viewed negatively. However, the Bible teaches us that we are limited. We just can't do it all. We have limitations. We're weak and sinful. We're warned in Scripture, Proverbs, to not lean on our own understanding, but what? Trust the Lord with all our heart. And I grew up hearing, "God helps those who help themselves." And what that ultimately tells you is, well, if you really want God to do something for you, you got to get out there and do it for yourself. And then God will come along and assist you. And I get the idea behind it, right? We are to be responsible for ourselves. We are to take action. However, I think a more biblical way of phrasing that would be, "God helps those who trust in him." God helps those who trust in him. And so what I want us to do today, and we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage, Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6. But what I want us to do today is actually look at this, why are we to trust and depend on Jesus as our all in all, as our all-sufficient source, rather than trusting our own resources and ourselves. And this is extremely important. This is a lesson I've had to learn over and over and over again and continue to have to learn it. And here's why it's so important. Because if we do not depend on Jesus for everything, for all our needs in life and in ministry, then what the result is this: we become burnt out. We dry up. We can become hard-hearted. We can become discouraged. And we'll miss the glory and the blessings that God has in store for us. So just to kind of set the scene as we're thinking through what's happening here in the ministry of Jesus. If you remember last week, we talked about him sending out the 12 on that kind of training of the mission trip that they were to go into the surrounding towns and preach and represent Jesus. Well, this picks up in verse 30 of chapter 6 when they come back from that and they report to Jesus all that they did. I'll just read it. It says, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while.' For many people were coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. So they went away in the boat by themselves to a remote place. But many saw them leaving and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. And when he went on shore, he saw the large crowd and had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he began to teach them many things." So kind of setting the stage, and as the apostles come back, they've been busy doing ministry. They came back and they told Jesus all about everything that had happened and all that they did. And Jesus says, right, let's go. Let's have a break, right? A little retreat with Jesus. They get in a boat. They're going away to a quiet place. And part of the reason is because, once again, give you an idea of just at this phase in Jesus' ministry, man, there are people everywhere coming and going, and it's a very active, busy place. And because so much was going on, the apostles didn't even have a chance to eat after doing all of that. So he wanted to have some alone time with them to get away. And one of the things that I love about this, right, is we can see that Jesus is compassionate. And he cares about our needs and the needs of others. I love the fact, I mean, I can almost imagine it there as they're coming back and they're probably tired and worn out and hungry. And Jesus sees their need, knows that after this busy time that they've had, they need some time to recoup, to refresh themselves, and to have a meal. He knows exactly what they need. But in that context, they just can't get it, so he said, let's go. And then as they go, they get in the boat, and they're going to the other side, right? And the people say, hey, look, it's Jesus! And all the apostles, let's see where they're going, right? And so, the Sea of Galilee is not that big. You can see the center of the sea from the land. And so they see the boat going, and they're following it, and they're running ahead, and they're just like, oh, we got to get there, right? And they know where Jesus is going to land, and they're all waiting for him. And it says that when Jesus got out of the boat, and he saw this massive crowd of people gathered on the hillside, he had compassion. Now, I might have shared this here before, but it's one of my favorite Greek words. And the Greek word, it's translated in English, it's translated everything as heart, guts, bowels. It means your innards, right? And the word for compassion is the verb form of that. It's the word splagna. It's just a fun word to say. So if you ever just say, hey, I want to learn a Greek word, splagna, it's just a great word. The verb form is splagnizo, and it means that twisting of the guts. Now get this. Jesus is trying to have a retreat with his apostles. They're tired. It's been a long day. But when he sees the crowd, he sees them, and he sees their need, and he cares. Right? I think so many times when I get busy in the hustle of things, I don't always notice. I don't notice people. I may not be listening or paying attention to what's going on in their life. This can happen with other people. It can happen even with my own kids. Sometimes I don't even notice, hey, they had a bad day today. But Jesus always notices because he cares. And it's not just that he cares, but he cares enough to do something about it, which is true biblical compassion, right? It's not just feeling sorry for people. It's saying, they have a need. I'm going to do what I can to help them. And so he begins to teach them. And it says, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Well, here comes the dilemma, okay? The conflict arises. Here it begins in verse 35. When it grew late, his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it's already late. Send these people away so that they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat." And then verse 37. "You give them something to eat." I mean, I've just been pondering that all week, right? Because it's late. There's so many people there, and the disciples come to Jesus. Keep in mind, they still haven't eaten from when Jesus is like, "Hey, let's get in a boat and have a picnic," right? They still haven't eaten. And they come to him, and they're like, "Okay, Master, you know, sun's setting. It's getting kind of late in the day. All these people, they need to eat, so why don't we just dismiss them, you know? bring an end to this church service, pray, and dismiss them so that they can go and get some food," right? Hit the restaurants before the Methodists get there. Just kidding. And Jesus turns and looks to them and says, "No. You give them something to eat." Could you imagine what must have gone through their minds when Jesus, they're trying to get rid of the people, and Jesus is like, no, you feed them. And you could tell they begin to search for the answers, and they say, wait a minute, right? Verse 37, the rest of that. They said, "Should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" So what they're automatically doing is they're doing what any of us would do. Jesus says, "Hey, do this." So what do? We begin to look at our own resources. Okay, how much money do you have? Well, let's pull our sources together. Okay, how much food do we need to buy? Well, the amount that they said to feed them, right, the amount of money is essentially a year's worth of wages for an average working person. And so they're like, wait a minute, do we need to go and spend basically this large sum of money to buy food for them? Once again, I just want to highlight, right, what the apostles are thinking is no different than what you and I would think in that same context. It's no different than what you or I might think when we feel like God wants me to do this. Okay, what do I need to do to be able to do this? Jesus gave them a task. You give them something to eat. They start counting change and they're like, "That's a lot of money. There's no way." Jesus is teaching them something. He's teaching them. Hear me on this. He's teaching them the value of depending on Him as the divine source. Because he says, well, right, verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Right? You feed them. Okay, what do you have? What food do you have? Well, they do a search. Now, the other gospels tell us that it was a young boy, that he had 5 loaves and 2 dried fish, right? This would have been the standard kind of lunchbox fare for somebody in that day. The loaves would have been barley, which was the very common grain, and they would have been kind of flat, round, almost like tortillas, maybe a little bit thicker than a tortilla, which everything is good on a tortilla. Can I get an amen? No. Okay. Right, and it would have been a nice little thick loaf, not huge. So when we think of a loaf of bread, I think of the grocery store and a big loaf, right? No, this would have been more like I said, more like a tortilla size thing. And then the 2 dried fish, something that they could carry with them. And so Jesus says, now listen, he says, okay, you feed them. Wait, how are we going to do this? And then he says, what do you have? Notice that. He's not asking them to go into town to go to the store to get a bunch of food. What do you already have with you? And they bring the loaves and the fish. And then Jesus takes what they have and he prays. Look what it says. Actually, let me go a little forward on this. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Verse 39, then he instructed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. I just want to point out that little detail about the green grass. Most commentators and scholars will point out that this is evidence of an eyewitness recollection. It's that type of detail of somebody who was there that they would remember something like how green the grass was that day. Just a little subtle thing. But so he has them all sit down, and they sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the bread. And then he kept giving it to the disciples to set before the people, and he also divided the fish among them all. So notice what Jesus does. He takes what they have, this little, I mean little, it's not much. Y'all, it's a light snack. They take this and he prays and he blesses it, and we have from the other gospels, you know, the prayer that he prays. And then he takes that bread and he breaks it and he gives it to the apostles after they had everyone sit down in these nice, neat groups, and just passes it out and passes it out and passes it out, passes it out. And they take this food, the fish and the loaves, and they begin to distribute it among the people, which is interesting. Once again, I was thinking about this week. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they, in turn, gave them something to eat. But the food wasn't their doing. The food was the work of God, performing a miracle. I'm telling you, I've been in ministry for a number of years, and you know, there's always that moment when we have a potluck or some sort of food service thing for a church, and somebody's worried, oh no, we didn't make enough of this. And I'm not saying I've seen these miracles, but that's never run out and everybody had plenty. Right? It's kind of one of those deals where he keeps dividing it up and they pass it out. And here is the big point. Here's the moral. Here's what we see in all of this. Right? And that is Jesus, and in him we have everything we need, no matter how small. how great the task is before us. And this is the verse that I really want to zero in on. Look at verse 42. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up the 12 baskets full of pieces of bread and fish. And now those who had eaten the loaves were 5,000 men. Now, a couple things about this, right? We'll start backwards. 5,000 men. Now, it doesn't include women and children. This is something that people point out all the time. They're only counting the number of men there. So there's 5,000 men, but it wasn't just men in the crowd. They would have been women and children as well. And so the estimates are, even though this is called the feeding of the 5,000, the estimates are that it's probably double or more, depending on how many people were there. Because if it was, if you include the women and children, it could be upwards of 10,000 people. Upwards of 10,000 people fed to the full. That word, and they were satisfied, is a word to indicate that when they ate, they didn't just get a small little ration. They got enough to fill their empty bellies. They were completely satiated with the food that was provided. And then the disciples go and they pick up whatever scraps are left over. And how many scraps are left over? 12 baskets full. 12 of scraps left over from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Y'all, anything significant stand out about that number of 12? How many apostles were there? 12. Remember, why did they go away to begin with? For the apostles to get something to eat. So notice, even when they were on empty, even when they already were kind of at the end of the day, still haven't eaten, still hungry, and Jesus still says, hey, there's still more work to do. There's people. We need to take care of them. He feeds them and then provides a basket of bread and fish for each of the apostles afterwards. None of them were lacking anything. Familiar story, right? You've probably heard it a million times. But what does it teach us? What is it telling us? What is it indicating to us? It's indicating, right, of what it means to depend on Jesus for everything. Everything. First of all, know this. Jesus knows your needs and he cares. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly where your limitations are. He knows exactly what it is that you need to get through, whatever it may be. And he cares. He cares. He cares. One of the biggest temptations that we have is when we're going through stuff, when we get caught up in the busyness of life, when things start to begin to feel like they're crumbling around us, it's almost like we're tempted to believe he doesn't care. He doesn't notice. He's not paying attention to what I'm going through. But that couldn't be further from the truth. He cares. He knows your needs. He knows them better than you do. He knows everything going on in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your family. He knows it before it's even going to happen. Don't miss the fact that he cares. He cares so much. So he knows our needs. He not only knows our needs as individuals, but he also knows our needs as a church. He knows what we need as a people to do the work that he's called us to. Not only that, but we're to look to Jesus as the all-sufficient source of everything. Everything. Adrian Rogers once said it this way, a preacher of another day, is one of my heroes. Adrian Rogers once said this: it's the difference between being a car and being a streetcar, a trolley. Okay, so he's talking about those old trolleys that used to have that one little wire going up that provided the electricity to make it go. He said this: most of us, when we approach what it is to come to Christ, what it is to go to God for something, we approach it like we're driving a car, and we stop at the gas station and we fill up. Right? We go to church, we fill up. We read our Bible, we fill up. And then we drive until we run out of gas again. How does a streetcar work? Well, it has that little pole with that little whatever conductor touching the wire, and it always is connected to its source. He said that's the type of dependence we need on him, where we're constantly relying on him, trusting him, and finding his strength and his presence there. As individuals, we might be tempted to say, you know what, God can't use me because I don't have this knowledge or experience or set of skills. Who am I? I'm nobody. If only I could be more like so-and-so, then I could do what I feel like I need to do. Or perhaps I'm just tired and exhausted. Or perhaps we might say, well, what about my needs? It's possible that the apostles are like, but we're hungry, Lord. Can we send them away so we can get some food? What about my needs? I have to take care of myself. As a church, we might often say, if only we had more people, if only we had more money, if only we had what that church over there had. But when we look to him, we find the strength for everything. Little is much in his hands. And he takes what little resources we have, he takes what little skills we have, he takes what little gifting we had, and he multiplies it and uses it well beyond what we can do. And Jesus, through his divine power, uses what we have and stretches it to fit the need. So when he calls us to do something, whatever it may be, he gives us the strength and takes what we have and expands it. I'll close with this sermon illustration I once heard, I've used before. But there was a wealthy man, this was around the time of World War II, there was a wealthy man who had a large estate, and he died. Now, he only had one son, but that son had died on battle in World War II. His wife already passed away, and so his estate went up for auction. And everybody that day, the newspapers, all these people were reporting this auction. Man, they couldn't wait, because this was a mansion of mansions, a huge estate. And people gather that day for the auctioning off of various items. And people had been looking at different pieces. And he was an art collector, so he had these very expensive, valuable paintings that he had collected. And so the whole room is filled for that estate sale. And the auctioneer gets up and it says, according to the will, Actually, we're gonna auction this, but the very first thing up for auction was a hand-drawn sketch of his son that died in battle. One of his friends drew it, and after he died, sent it to him. It was just in a little frame. It was not very big. The auctioneer said, "This is the first item up for bid." Everyone was disappointed. Nobody wanted it. Get 200. 200. Going once. 100. 50. 75. 15. Finally, a man in the audience said, "Listen, I'll bid 15 just so we can get on with this thing." $15. Going once. Going twice. Sold to that man. At that moment, the auction ended. The auctioneer said, according to the old man's will, he who gets the son gets it all. He who gets the son gets it all. When we have Christ, or better yet, when Christ has us, we have everything we need in Him. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your provision.